Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Dan is such a great guy. He is an amazing servant. He, I think, was the longest running volunteer servant in youth for just in a crazy amount of years. Now oversees our young adults ministry. Recently a father to three, and he is just an all-round awesome, godly, fantastic guy. And so I hope that you give him your full attention, because I know that he would have planned and prepared and prayed a lot about tonight. So we are so excited to hear Dan. Let's give him a big welcome.
Cool. Thank you, Nick. That was a really warm welcome. Thank you. Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to be here tonight and an honour to share with you all. And I'm really looking forward to what God has to say. Before I start, how about we start in prayer? Dear God, thank you for tonight and just thank you for Sundays and church and time we get to spend with our church family. I just think about the praise and worship this morning and communion and the message and just tonight worship as well. And it's just really great how often you tie things together and just the way that you teach us on a Sunday. So we thank you for that. In your name, amen. Cool. If we have the first slide up, and if you're writing notes tonight and you want the title of my message is Praying the Psalms. Praying the Psalms. So having grown up in church and attending Oxley College, a Christian school, and having both my parents as teachers and pretty much being here my whole life, prayer has been something that's been modeled to me. It's something that I've learnt about and practiced and experienced, you know, throughout my life from a young age. I've seen it help me through hard times. I've experienced, you know, the love of God through prayer. I've learned how to hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit as I've prayed, and I've seen breakthrough in those areas of my life when I've prayed for things. And prayer is a really good thing. Yes, amen. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, we hear these verses where it says, pray continually, rejoice always. Philippians 4 verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. If we have the next slide up. However, like with most things in life, there's often a tension. There's often a difficulty that comes with things that we know to be good and true for our lives. I've also learned and experienced how hard prayer can be. There are those times when prayer can feel really stale, that when it comes to prayer, you know, how often I've just been lacking the motivation or desire to pray. What about things like shame? Or we give in to temptation, or are reminded of things in our past that we regret. How do we pray to a majestic, powerful, all-knowing, loving God when there are those times when we can't even look at ourselves in the mirror? Even natural things like the ability to think about what do we even pray about, even trying to string together words to form a prayer can be a barrier, and I think many of us could relate to that. There are those times in our life where prayer can become a bit of a checklist, where you're just ticking off things that are on your prayer list. Sometimes we feel like we can't come up with a prayer that's worthy enough of getting God's attention. And one of the biggest barriers to prayer I think we can tend to gloss over is the conflict between how we think we should feel versus how we actually feel. How do we even begin to think about prayer when we're faced with tragedy, or we're faced with suffering, or the feeling like we're completely on our own? So tonight I'd like to share about the Psalms and the freedom that can be brought about by using the Psalms in our prayer life. You know, we have at our fingertips in the Bible, in the Psalms, a prayer book. We have these prayers and songs and poems that are being put together already that we can pray. They're at our fingertips. We have testimonies and examples from people who have gone through things before and experienced hardships and different situations and how they've approached prayer through that. We see in the New Testament how often these psalms shaped the things that Jesus said, how it actually shaped the lens that through which he looked at the world, how he actually approached his life. So I might change what I said before. It's not just a prayer book. It's the way we should actually be living our lives. And I really believe that the Psalms can provide a way to come before God in any situation, any emotion, any stage of life we might be in. So we took our kids to the zoo a couple of weeks. We got three kids now. So we got a 4-year-old Jacob, 2-year-old Isla, and little Olive, who is just a newborn. And one of Jacob's favourite shows at the moment is Andy's Baby Animal Adventures. Are there any kids that watch that on ABC Kids? Matt watches that. We've heard it a lot in our home, and the song can get stuck in your head. Do you know the song, Matt? Andy's Baby Animals. Andy's Baby. Anyway, it gets stuck in my head most days. Whenever Jacob watches this show, he's just engrossed in it. And he gets out all his little toy animals and he puts them out and he'll play with them for hours on end. So it's fair to say that when we told Jacob we're going to the zoo today, we had one very excited 4-year-old. And in this moment when we told him that we're going to the zoo today and we were getting ready to go in the car, words weren't enough for Jacob and Isla to show their excitement about going to the zoo. And I've got a little clip that we're going to show that gives you a little bit of a snippet into how they were going.
Let's go to the zoo. 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 Hooray! Break it down, Isla.
You can see that they needed music and dancing and all those things to show their excitement and some very delayed reactions from Isla, which was great. So why the Psalms? Well, I'd like to pose a question, and if you're writing notes, write this down. What do you do when words just aren't enough? What do we do when words just aren't enough? How do we pray and come before God in the many different situations that we're in? How do we come and pray when we've got that tension in our lives? You know, there's moments when we're reading about joy, but we're going through suffering. We read about promises, but we just seem to be in a hopeless situation. Where we know what the truth is, but we're just really confused and find it hard to find that clarity. And how do we pray when we don't have the words or even the strength to pray? How do we articulate those deep groanings, longings, desires that we have? So the Psalms is a book made up of a collection of 150 ancient Hebrew poems, songs, and prayers. And they come from all different periods of Israel's history, from many different authors. What we find is that the authors are often faced with this problem. What we get from this amazing text are these amazing prayers, songs and poems that create these beautiful and real stories and outpourings of emotions. These texts are so much more than just words on a page. These psalms invite the reader into a literary temple. If you're writing notes, write down that word, literary temple. And what does that even mean, literary temple? So having grown up in a church like I have, like all my life, you often hear every now and then like a message about the temple, and it's something that I've never really understood before and probably haven't even really been that enthusiastic about learning about. And it hasn't been until I've been thinking about these psalms that I've actually ever wanted to learn about the temple. So from my very basic and limited and probably childlike understanding of the temple, I do know one thing, that it was a place where people came to be in the presence of God. If you look at that little image of the temple, the design of the temple, the artwork, all the materials used, the sacrifices and all the different practices that went on in the temple were all designed to bring you into the presence of God. All these things were there to remind you of the biblical story, to remind you of what God has done, to show you a glimpse of the glory and the holiness of God, to bring you to a place where you could praise God. The temple was also there to bring you to a place where you could inquire of God or pour out, you know, whatever was going on in your life. I think of Hannah in 1 Samuel where she prays out of her deep anguish and sorrow and weeping for a child. That was done at the temple. It was a place where the presence of God dwelt and where you could come before God, where you could enter into his presence, and a place out of where God's glory and loving kindness were designed to impact all the nations. That was what the temple was all about. So how are the Psalms like a literary temple? Well, they do the same thing as the temple. All the language used, all the links that are used throughout the Psalms, they're reminding you of the things that God has done for you and his people. You think about the Psalms and all the imagery of God in all his glory. You think about the creation imagery that's used throughout the Psalms. And you see time and time again this hope that they refer to and they long for of God restoring his people and establishing his reign on earth. They're all there designed to bring you into this literary temple. And the Psalms provided a way for Israel to come into God's presence, even after the temple had been destroyed, which you read about in 2 Kings 25. As we open up the Psalms and immerse ourselves in these songs, poems, and prayers, and as we step into this literary temple that's designed to bring us into the presence of God, we find ourselves in a place where God's space and our space intersect. And what do I even mean by that? What do I mean by this place where God's space and our space intersect? Well, again, we find ourselves in this tension all the time. We think of 2 Corinthians where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." And Chris spoke a great message around that and what God has intended for us and how we can live freely in Jesus. But at the same time, how many people can relate to Romans 7 verse 15? "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I do, I hate." We've got this tension, right, as we're struggling with the old. And there's this tension, and if we can go to the next slide, as Romans 7 verse 25 says, and thank God for this, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." But at the same time, we are still struggling with this sinful nature. And we're in this in-between period where we're waiting for the good work that Jesus has begun in us to be completed, which we read about in Philippians 1 verse 6. We're in this tension. So what better way tonight to see this in action, where we're trying to navigate this tension, this intersection of God's space and our space, where stepping into a literary temple can like help us do that? How does that even help? We're going to look at an example of Jesus' life where he did this, where he lived his life through the poems, prayers, and songs of the Psalms. And if you've got your Bibles, you're welcome to turn to Psalm 22. I'll give you a moment to do that. And we're going to just look at a couple little excerpts from that psalm. Psalm 22. So in verse 1, we have this lament. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, why have you forsaken me? That's a pretty heavy line, right? It's this lament, it's suffering, it's this cry of distress. We then see the author move into this next stage where he begins to remember the past. And again, we've heard that throughout today, which is really cool. In verse 3, is the author remembers the past. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. If we go to the next slide. But then again, we see the author kind of thrown back into this present situation, the tension, right? But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. But I am a worm and not a man. They're really deep, real words, aren't they? As we go on this journey with the author, as he brings this prayer, this request, this lament before God, we see a cry for help. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. And I love with this little line that's written here that there's so much remembering in that cry for help, isn't there? Do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Again, it just flows off the author remembering these times in the past where God has come through, where he's delivered his people. And then, quite remarkably, we come to verse 22, where we've had the lament, we've had the remembering the past, and then we've had the present situation, this tension, this cry for help. And we come to a place of praise and peace. In verse 22, it says, I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. And then we have this almost a resolution, or at least coming to a place of peace. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. If you've been following along in your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Matthew 27, verse 46. And have a pen ready to underline this verse if you like writing notes in your Bible. As I read this Psalm 22, and then I thought about this next part of the Bible in Matthew, where it talks about Jesus' death on the cross, it really blew my mind. It was, you know, like a light bulb moment as I read this. So Matthew 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Does anyone see the link between that and Psalm 22? Where did that cry come from when Jesus said that on the cross? For a moment, imagine yourself on the cross and the pain, the hurt. Imagine just the energy that is gone. How every being and fibre of your body would just be in absolute agony. In that moment, how would you even go about stringing words together in prayer? I find it hard enough after a run to talk, let alone being on a cross, just absolutely, you know, everything taken from you. How would you go about stringing words together in prayer? Well, we see what Jesus does. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you can picture, like, you know, the Jesus on the cross, where that's like, you know, the only thing he could get out, the amount of strength that he could muster would be to pray this one line. In that one line, in that one little cry that he's done, he has prayed Psalm 22. He has prayed Psalm 22, and in it, the cries of distress, agony, and suffering. But while doing that, he's also remembering who God is. He's remembering the past. He's remembering what God has done. And above all, in that one line that he said, he's also clinging onto the hope and promises of the future. As we're taking through that journey in Psalm, you know, Jesus, it talks about how well he knew the word. And these signs would have been shaping how he communicated with God, how he saw things. You just take a moment to actually consider that. Like, you know, so many times I've read that line, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's, you know, you kind of like understand why he might have said it because of how much pain he was in. But when you stop and consider that line was so much more than just a cry for help, it was actually taking him back to these things that he not only read but lived, like that he knew, that had become part of him and how he communicated. That through that one line he's remembered, he's cried out for help, he's clung on to hope. It's really amazing. If we could have that next slide, yep. As we read the Psalms, we ultimately see Jesus at the intersection of God's space and our space, God's time and our time. We see that Jesus provides a way of navigating this tension we face so often. He's actually done it and lived it himself. Jesus provides a way of navigating these struggles that we find ourselves in time and time again. Thanks, and you can take off the slides now. So I'd love to share a testimony from my own life about how the Psalms has helped me to pray, and this has really been a journey I've been on the last couple of years. And thanks, Kayla, for worship tonight and just the song choices and Strength and Refuge, which I had a part in writing, and it came out of a lot of my journeys with the Psalms as well. So it was really special singing that tonight, so thank you. So I'd love to share one example in my life where the Psalms have helped me to pray. Before I do share, just as a warning that this may be a trigger for infant loss. So our little girl, Olive, came into this world a few weeks ago on the 24th of February 2022. My brother and sister-in-law were also expecting their little girl only a few months before we were due. It was October last year on the 17th that we got a call that they hadn't felt any movement. And in the next day or so, we received the tragic news that a heartbeat couldn't be found. And on Thursday, 21st of October, at 9:56 p.m., their little daughter, Grace Anne, was born sleeping. I hadn't experienced tragedy or loss like this before at a personal level. And then fast forward to February 24th, and Lauren and I were in the hospital waiting to be called into theatre for our baby to be delivered. As I mentioned, I've sort of been on this journey of reading through the Psalms, and as I'd be seeing how the authors didn't shy away from grief and loss, pain and lament, it was something that was sort of front of mind for me in that moment. If you know me, you know that I'm a very level-headed and measured person. I stay quite calm usually. But this, I've found for myself, means that I find it hard to know how to approach loss or grief or how to deal with it. I think part of that is when it comes to grief, pain or hurt, I tend to push it to the side, and I haven't experienced, you know, anything really tragic before. I've been very blessed in my life, but I do tend to suppress those things, just, you know, part of my personality and but as I read these Psalms in the lead up to our due date, as I waited in the hospital ward, I felt really led to lean in to these emotions and things that I was trying to deal with and reconcile. As I waited in our little room in the hospital, I was thinking about the excitement of meeting our child. But I was also struggling with coping with the loss of a baby that was meant to grow up with our child. And I'd like to read just a letter that I wrote to my brother and sister-in-law as we waited in the hospital. So this was to Ryan and Ricky, and we didn't know if we were having a boy or a girl at that stage, so I've written the name of our child, Olive Louise, or Oliver Ryan. So to Ryan and Ricky, we want to honour you. We admire and love you both so much. We can never share in your grief of losing precious Grace. We can never fill the void that she left. We can only grieve and lament with you. Olive and Grace were meant to grow up together. They were meant to share a special bond. We were meant to share this journey with you. Now we can only lament. Nicholas Waltersdorf, in his book Lament for a Son, shares about his grief. This is what he says. But I will not and cannot disown it, which is talking about his grief. I cannot and will not disown it. I shall remember Eric, which was his son that he lost. Lament is a part of life. Every lament is a love song. For myself, being named Philip, which is my middle name, after my papa, has always reminded me of papa, the man he was and the special relationship I've had. It has been such a special way for me to honour papa after he passed away. Olive Louise, or Oliver Ryan, is not only a way to honour you both, honour Ryan and Ricky, but it is a way to honour Grace and make sure she is remembered, lamented and celebrated as she holds a special bond with this child we're about to have. Oh, for the day when our children, Olive and Grace, meet. Psalm 126, verse 5 to 6 says, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Every lament is a love song. And until what was lost is restored in heaven, we will lament, honour, celebrate with you for as long as we live. After Olive was born, I had about half an hour where it was just me and Olive, and we were in this nursery kind of area as Lauren was recovering and being tended to by the nurses and doctors. And I remember being in this little nursery with just me and Olive, and I was just cradling her in my arm, looking down at her. And in that moment, being overcome by those emotions of grief, loss and heartache. She was meant to grow up with Grace. They were meant to be cousins that shared this special bond. And we were meant to share this experience with my brother and sister-in-law. Why was Grace taken away? Why was I holding this healthy child and they weren't? As I stood there cradling this baby, I leant into these thoughts, emotions, and surrendered them at the feet of Jesus. That's all I could do. Jesus knew our hurt. Jesus loved Olive, and he also loved Grace. I thought about how Jesus wept when he heard about the death of Lazarus. I thought about how Jesus would be weeping with me right now. But I also thought about how one day this loss would be restored. is my, you know, that one glimmer of hope that you have to hold on to. Like what we read about in that psalm, there's that one, you know, that one line that they were clinging onto something. I thought about how all I could hold on to now was that it was important, that it was essential that grace be remembered, that the special close bond with Olive not be lost. I thought about the significance of Olive's middle name, Louise, and that this would be a reminder, a signpost for her for the rest of her life, that she shared this unbreakable bond and connection with her cousin, Grace Anne. Those words of Psalm 126 echoed in my head, and it was what I used in that moment as my prayer, my cry. My prayer where I was longing and clinging onto hope when I didn't have the words myself that could. I just didn't have the words in that situation myself. And despite all this pain and heartache and just, yeah, this situation that doesn't make sense when you're faced with it, I had Jesus' example where he also held on to and clung on to God and his Father. I think about Psalms where Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress, my God in whom I trust. These words that are just so amazing and special and beautiful that we can use and cling on to when everything else would tell us no. Psalm 126 and the verses 4-6 that I read in that letter that I really clung on to in this situation was, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the desert. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy. As much as I embraced the grief and lament and pain, I also held on to the hope that Olive will one day meet Grace, that God will restore and redeem what was lost. Like that psalm is saying, that one day that this moment of grief, of mourning, will one day turn into this amazing moment of joy. And I held on to that so hard. That this moment of loss will turn into a moment of restoration, of harvest. That imagery of going out weeping, you know, this baby that they were meant to have and that we were meant to share with, that Olive was meant to grow up with, you know, these amazing seeds that were meant to bring about all this blessing and joy that were lost, that were gone, that were taken away. This hope that one day God will restore that, and he will restore that. That we will return with those songs of joy, carrying sheaves. How beautiful is that picture? How beautiful. And I held on to that so hard in that moment. It's been a life-changing experience for me as I've read through the Psalms and learned how to use them to begin to shape my prayers. But more than that, it really has become a lens through which I look at life with. A lens through which I respond to life with. Something that I use to come into the presence of God, to step into that literary temple. These psalms can be used in times of joy and excitement and blessing. They can be used in times of loss. These psalms are full of emotion. They are real. And they don't shy away from the tension that we experience so often. They don't shy away from that fact that often we are trying to navigate this really tricky intersection of God's space and our space. God's time and our time. And if tonight's word has spoken to you, and I know it's been a heavy word, but I would love to encourage you to talk to someone about it. Like, and it really helps. Myself and Lauren being able to talk to Ricky and Ryan throughout this whole process. We're designed to talk to each other and live life with each other. The Psalms were designed to be sung and prayed and recited together, right? If it's something that's spoken to you tonight, I encourage you to talk to Andy or Cass, or Graham or Chris, any of the leaders here would love to chat with you and even help you with what to pray or parts of the Bible that we can use in our prayers. And I'd encourage you to use this amazing resource that Steph and the LMC Worship have created, Devoted, and it's really cool that it's come out on the day that I was sharing this. What an amazing thing that we've got this resource that can be used in those personal times with God, or even in group settings where we might be fellowshipping together. This amazing music that can pair with these words that we might be reading, particularly the Psalms. So in a moment, I'm going to invite Steph and the team to share a song that Steph wrote last year, which was literally the words of Psalm 91. And I think it's just such a fitting way to end tonight. Yeah, grief and lament is really hard to deal with and go through, but how amazing is it that we have these Psalms, like Psalm 91, that can be used in times of joy, they can be used in times of heartache. They have these amazing truths, these amazing things that we can cling on to and not let go of when words just aren't enough. Thank you, God. Jesus, we just stop and we thank you. Life can be really hard and confusing and full of ups and downs and different emotions and times when things seem really clear and times when we can't even see our feet in front of us. We thank you, Jesus, that you provide a way for us to live life and live life to the full. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us and that you walk with us. Thank you for your word and just the example that you've set in how to live life and how to have this relationship with our Father. I thank you for what you've done in my life through the Psalms, and I just pray that this word would be like that seed that takes root and grows and flourishes, and that there might be people here tonight that have been finding it really hard to pray, or in the future might find it hard to pray, and they remember your word and remember your example of praying those Psalms even as you hung on the cross, and that might be something that helps see them through, you know, these different journeys that we go through that bring deliverance, that bring freedom, like what we're talking about this year. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Thank you, God. We'll hand over to Stefan. Love to be to bring that song. And I'd encourage you, if you want to, open your Bibles to Psalm 91 and follow along and just reflect on the words and on what's been shared tonight. That would be really great.
This song, I wrote this song in March 2020, right when COVID was starting, and I just found myself very overwhelmed by how quickly the world had just seemingly changed overnight. And I remember so clearly, it was a Wednesday, and Scott Morrison did a press conference and said that gatherings were limited to 100 people, and I was devastated and and I just didn't know what to do. And I found my response was I opened my Bible and I turned to Psalm 91, and this song is what came out. And like Dan was really saying, it came out of the tension, and it was when I didn't have the words, this psalm was the words that I needed to pray. And so I'm really excited to share it with you all.
This will become your covering. He will hide you in the shadow of his wings. He is faithful. He is our shield. We will not fear the terror. Disaster shall be on you. Angel armies protect you as you go. They will lift you up in their hands. We won't stop. Upon your name, you
What a beautiful, sweet way to end the night. Why don't we give Dan a round of applause for that beautiful, beautiful sermon? And I hope that we are encouraged as we read the Psalms this week.